joined now by Mark Dorison, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, to help us wrap up the week. Happy New Year. How are you?
Oh, I couldn't be any better. How are you?
That's good. I'm doing all right. Getting through the snow, which is the operative thing at this point.
Yes.
How's the county doing?
We're doing okay. I mean, I think, you know, the offices, county was shut down yesterday, and, you know, sort of coming back to normal today, you know, a lot of concerns about traffic and people being safe on the roads. Sheriff's Department has been out and encouraging people that don't need to be out there not to be out there. Mm-hmm. I heard you earlier, just a little while ago, that, you know, the road seems pretty good this afternoon, but now that it's getting cold again, it's going to be refreezing, and it's always worse in the dark. So I hope people are hunkering down and staying warm.
I was on 54 last night heading out of town towards Durham, and it was nighttime, and I'm driving over a path. You know, it's nighttime, and the road is, you know, the surface is black. And then I start driving over a patch that is blacker. Like, it's moist. There's moisture on the ground, and you know it's frozen. And it's just this sheet of ice. I'm like, well, here we go, driving over this patch. It was fine, but you never know when you hit this what it's going to be.
It's true. It really, yeah. And, you know, it's... I was talking to one of my kids today about, you know, the roads and how it really reminds you of, you know, we live in a shady neighborhood, so there was no sun on the road, so it stayed
frozen. Oh, that
kind
of shady neighborhood.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
yeah.
It's probably shady, and I mean, I'm sure my neighbors would say it's shady in many regards, yeah. No doubt because of my presence, but yeah, you know, it's just tough to really, you know, see what's clear and what's not clear, and you know, for folks who can avoid it, it's certainly worth staying inside.
Yep.
And you know, it's one of the advantages of living in the internet culture is you can get a lot of work done.
You're
you can do your shopping.
Yep.
You can do whatever you need to do. Pretty much,
yep.
You can download a movie. So
yeah. Sounds good. All right. So speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Board of Commissioners, let's shift gears and talk about 2018. We've got meetings coming up, a lot on the agenda for 2018. What's first? What's the county's New Year's resolution?
You know, I don't know if I could speak for the county's New Year's resolutions. But certainly, you know, we're looking forward to, I mean, very soon the budget process will be starting. That's a big, obviously takes up most of the spring part of the term. And, you know, there's so many questions still from Raleigh about what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still in the uncertainty regarding class size. There's a big rally in Raleigh tomorrow.
Yep.
About that. There were some reports that maybe the legislature is working on a solution. But certainly that, you know, that is a big factor that drives a lot of the budget discussions around education. And so, you know, those aspects are critical. And then, you know, we passed these two bonds. And so, though, you know, we started to draw down that money for the affordable housing bond.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be drawing down money for the school bond. That's going to factor into, you know, to the budget, to, you know, what the tax picture is going to look like. So those are conversations that are all, you know, really, you know, ready to roll.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point about the class size issue, because there's the rally in Raleigh tomorrow at 1. There's the advocacy day on Wednesday when the General Assembly is back in session. And you mentioned there is some kind of rumblings, and I think Craig Horn, mm-hmm. was it who said something to the effect of, well, we're working on something. But we had Renee Seckel in here earlier from Save Our Schools. She's like, yeah, we've heard that before, and so far nothing's gotten done. So if nothing does get done, and then this unfunded mandate gets imposed on, in our case, Orange County Schools and Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, which are already stressed for funds as it is, and we're the best funded, probably, two school districts in the county, still stressed for funds, and then this on top of it. I know the Orange County government and the Board of Commissioners has had to step up on numerous occasions to fill the gaps that are being created by all of these funding cuts. Is there room in the budget for Orange County to step up yet again?
Well, I think it's going to be very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we recently had a discussion with the Chapel Hill Carborough schools about the construction,
yep.
and the cost,
yep.
of overruns, or the cost of the bid overruns, and the idea that the county could just make up the difference really, it, you know, seemed unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the, you know, where we have the state imposes certain borrowing limits as far as bonds and things like that. And I think, you know, I think it's worth zooming out a little bit on that question, and I'm really glad you brought it up. You know, I think there's a, you know, there's a myriad of issues with this class size, with this class size controversy, one of which is the idea that is this sort of this rift between the state's responsibility and the local government's responsibility. And certainly there are folks in Raleigh who think if your schools need more money, take it up with your county commissioners. But the truth is the state is taking money away from education much faster than any county government, even ours, which has one of the greatest commitments to education in the state, can make up. You know, they're digging it out with a, you know, with a bulldozer, and we're filling it in with a, you know, with a hand shovel. And so it's unrealistic to think that these things can just be handled by local governments making up the difference.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking, as you noted, about Orange County, which is one of the best funded school counties for education in the state. We put a big tax burden on ourselves to do that. And you can imagine in lots of places that don't have the same resources that we do, that's an impossibility. The other thing is, you know, there have been some who have suggested, and I believe this, that this strategy is really part of a broader strategy from the conservative legislature to really undermine public education more generally. And so, you know, they put all this money into charter schools, all this money into voucher programs for private schools. That's sort of the pull, and now they're creating a push by bringing this chaos into public schools. And so when people start hearing that my public school may have to cut art, they may have to cut music, they may have to cut PE, or in some districts are looking at making the other classes larger because they're you know, 4 and 5, 5th grade and 4th grade aren't subject to these limits, you know, their parents don't want to see that. And that is an incentive for, you know, creates an incentive for some to get out of the public schools. And I believe that's the ultimate goal of all this.
What is happening at the level of the counties and at the school districts in some of the more rural counties? Do we know that that don't have the resources that Orange County does, that are already pressed for funds? They're going to be dealing with this a lot worse than we are, and it's bad enough here.
And, you know, I don't know exactly what school districts are doing, but I know in many of the lower wealth districts, they've already cut things like art and music and PE. They've got, you know, one art teacher that works between 3 or 4 or 5 elementary schools. And so I really don't know what those school districts are going to do. I mean, there's the teacher aspect, right? They're going to need to hire more teachers. There's also a facilities component, right? If you have, 10 elementary K-3 classes, and based on these numbers, now you're going to need 14 classes, you're either going to need trailers, mobile facilities, you're going to need dividers between classrooms, or, you know, as we've heard, you know, you're going to create much bigger 4th and 5th grade classes to free up space. I think it's going to be devastating to a lot of communities.
Are there sort of creative ways of trying to get around this? I know some legislators were talking about like hybrid classes, like 2nd and 3rd grade combined or things like that. But,
you know, I think
we're talking as like two non-education experts here.
Right. But, well, yeah. I think that the nefarious thing about this is that it is the idea of smaller class sizes is something that as an educational matter is a positive
thing.
That's
what we want.
It's something that greater attention for students. And so that in itself is not the challenge. The challenge is that the state is imposing this without any resources available. So if they said, you know, we understand this is going to require more teachers and more capacity, and we're going to give you the resources to do that, that would be one reasonable approach. It's not as if we don't think smaller class sizes and lower grades is a value. But to, you know, I think the way they've gone about this shows that it's a pretext to do something else, which is really just to continue to beat up on traditional public education.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Board of Commissioners, orangecountync.gov for more information on county goings-on. That rally is on Saturday, tomorrow from 1 to 3 p.m. We got an advocacy day on Wednesday at the General Assembly. A lot of people are going to be advocating at the General Assembly when they get back into session on Wednesday with a whole bunch of things on the agenda. We know not what at this point in some cases. And then what else is happening? We've got a women's march on the 20th. 20th. We've got HK on J coming up in February, and a whole, and those are just the big ones.
That's right.
A whole bunch of demonstrations and acts of advocacy and activism between now and HK on J, and the list can be really long. So one of the things that I think is positive about 2017 heading into 2018, and we've talked about this, is the extent to which people are engaged now who weren't before. We already saw this in the mid-midterms in 2017. We're going to be seeing more of this year, I think.
I hope so. I think it's the one thing that seems to have really, the one sort of positive that has come out of all the pushback on the rule of law, on constitutional principles, on, you know, a government, you know, of and by and for the people, has been this sense that that there is still that power in the numbers and in being present and in showing up. And so so I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And that's encouraging. You know, mm-hmm. that I hope will be the thing that begins to turn the, you know, legislators' attention around. I think this thing we just heard on the class size, this potentially positive development, is clearly a result of the organizing and advocacy that legislators are hearing about.
And even just the fact that we're still talking about this now as opposed to last year, it's because they heard enough complaints that they did at least push it back a year before taking effect. And that's not nothing.
That's exactly
right. It's
not much,
but it's not nothing.
No, but it isn't. You're right. It's actually something important, because mm-hmm. what it did is it created this opportunity for the continuing advocacy and
yep.
the expansion of it. And you know, to get the word out to people, that's what's been so challenging. Again, you know, you say smaller class sizes, that sounds like a good thing.
Right.
But then you've got to talk to people and say, well, this is what it really means and how it's going to play out in your community and in the elementary school your kids go to.
What else is coming up for Orange County that people want to know about?
Well, we were supposed to, today, there was supposed to be a big affordable housing summit,
yeah.
which I was very excited about. It was canceled due to the weather, so that'll be rescheduled. Mm. We've also got this Frederick Douglass celebration
yes.
that is coming up. The kickoff is, I think, the 18th,
mm-hmm.
but it's a year-long celebration of the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, and just being reminded locally again of the critical role that our history and the legacy of race discrimination plays in all of our lives is important, and I'm very much looking forward to the community engaging in the discussion and the conversation around yeah. that.
And Frederick Douglass's bicentennial is this year. I know this is also the bicentennial for William Holden, who is the one North Carolina governor who got impeached and removed from office. He's got an interesting legacy, but he gets impeached and removed during Reconstruction for being the one guy who stood up to the Ku Klux Klan in 1870 and got booted out of office for that, and this is his 200th birthday too.
Yeah, that I didn't realize it was the same. Was the same bicentennial. But yeah, that the story of W.W. Holden is a fascinating mm-hmm. one in the North Carolina history. And that, hopefully that story will come out too, because here you had a governor who was prepared to stand up to the Klan, who did stand up to the Klan, and then you know, was turned out of office at the next the next election by white supremacists seeking to retake the North Carolina government.
Yep.
So
I got to wrap up here in a second. Before we do, update on the Chambers Center for Civil Rights?
Well, we're continuing to roll along. We are working hard to raise money. We've actually just heard we've raised almost $90,000 so far from supporters, which is humbling. And we've got a big, you know, our big education equity case, which is about Halifax County and its three school districts, is pending before the state Supreme Court. We're hoping to have an oral argument in March.
Awesome. Mark Dorison, Orange County Commissioners, thank you so much.
Always great to see you, Aaron.